I'm Nikki.
And I'm Jules.
Wait, hold on. Sorry. We don't have we don't have a cold. Well, maybe we'll find it.
No, we'll just find it. It'll be fine.
We'll find it somewhere. The cold is always buried within the show. All right.
You just fish it out. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like a pro bass fisher. Did you ever watch pro bass fishing on the television?
No.
As a child. So so when I think we might have found the cold open. When I was a child, I would
cold, get it, because I have a cold.
Uh-huh. That's good.
And you do too.
Uh-huh. When I was a child, yeah, sorry for all the sniffles, y'all. When I was a child, I used to watch Speed a lot, like the television channel Speed.
Cocaine?
Yep. Because I think I was obsessed with cars when I was a kid, but I never really like reckoned with that. And like now the extent of my enjoyment of vehicles is like the Grand Tour and or Top Gear related, but like otherwise, like could give or take. But in the mornings and in the evenings, sometimes Speed would, instead of showing like vehicle or shows about cars, they would show professional bass fishing. So I watched like Yeah, I watched an inordinate amount of bass fishing when I was a child. The bigger the fish, the better is basically the entire rule.
What was the extent? Like, you just watch someone.
Yeah, so like
sit.
No, so like it's actually like kind of an involved process, I think. Maybe I'll bring this for next week. But like you sit in the boat and then everyone kind of goes and then you have to find your spot in the pond or river or whatever and then you fish and then you have a certain amount of time to fish and then you have to take the fish back and then they have to measure the fish to make sure it's big enough.
A lot of times do people not get something?
No, I think they might seed the river or pond or whatever.
Well, that's not fun.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I mean, I guess that's what makes it fun, but still, that's cheating.
Well, sometimes not everyone should win. I guess is correct. Sometimes you should go fish and then not get any fish.
Yes, that's the sport.
That is the sport. I'm Nikki.
And I'm Jules.
And this, do you want to do it? I feel like I've done it all of the time.
I thought that was, can we start with me next week?
Okay, that's fine.
I'm wholly unprepared for this.
I'm Nikki.
We've only done it 14, 15, 16 times.
All right. I'm Nikki.
And I'm Jules.
And this is Tangential, a show about the internet and the stuff that we do on it. Every single week, Jules and I go through our internet search histories and pick out the stuff that we find the most interesting and bring it to you and your ears for free via iTunes and, well, I guess not iTunes, via Apple Podcasts or wherever you find your podcasts. This week, we're talking about, have you seen Black Panther?
So, to be clear, this isn't something that was in any of our search histories, or was it in ours? It was in my search history.
I mean, I looked it up.
Getting
a
general consensus of... Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I saw it.
I did see it.
You saw it last, so...
What did you...
What were your initial thoughts?
Hey, your boy thought it was okay.
Ooh, hot take.
I don't think it's a hot take. Your boy thought it was okay.
No, it is a hot take. Do you realize, like... Okay, continue. I want to hear what you have to say.
Here's
okay.
the thing. I think that it is the best solo intro film in the MCU.
Of Marvel, yeah.
Yeah.
In the Marvel universe.
But also, chunks of that movie are not about Black Panther, which is fine. Like, because I also kind of don't think that
Give
Black Panther...
Give us a chunk. Give us a chunk that isn't about Black Panther.
No. Which is, I mean, to say that, like, there are parts where when in Iron Man, the entire movie is about Iron Man and his
yes.
psychoses.
Yes.
There are other characters who are equally, if not more important than he is for the story that is told in the film Black Panther.
Slash more interesting.
Correct.
Right?
And the parts that I think are kind of more interesting, such as Shuri's entire existence.
Right. Like where did she learn science exactly. from?
Like, and that's the kind of stuff.
How is she the only person who does it?
Right. Like, that's the stuff that I kind of wanted to
spoiler
touch.
Alert.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Hey, if you haven't seen Black Panther, go into the link dump, and I have put the time code for when the actual episode starts and when this conversation about Black Panther ends.
Is over. Yeah. Yeah.
But otherwise, if you haven't seen it, just know that that's there in the link dump. You can just click it and it'll take you, because we will spoil this film. But yeah, like, Shuri is a perfect example. Like, I would very much like to know where the fuck she learned. Like, I know she's naturally intelligent and naturally gifted, and she's the most talented STEM human being in the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of natural intelligence, where did she learn? Who taught
her?
And
the fact that she isn't geeky or fits into that right. kind of cliche, I think she's just a wholly more interesting. Every female character in that movie, yeah. in my opinion, was more interesting 100%. Than Black Panther.
100%. And I think that is wonderful. Like, I think that's great and should kind of be how Marvel approaches it. But, mm-hmm. like, I don't know.
Maybe not name the movie Black Panther. Maybe name it Black Panther and Friends. Wakanda. All right.
I don't know. But there also.
So what were your. Was that the extent of your issues?
I don't know.
With it?
I think. I don't even know if they were issues. I just think it was. It was not what I expected it to be.
Did I almost hear the word pedestrian?
No, you didn't.
Is that
okay? I just didn't think. I don't think it was what I expected it to be. I kind of expected more, and I think that might actually be a good thing because I mm-hmm. got a different experience from a Marvel film than I traditionally was expecting. I was legitimately expecting, like, if they had the chance to do Iron Man again. That
right.
like they would have done that with Black
and
Panther,
didn't.
And they
That's
super
not
did
not.
Was. That is yeah. not what that film is.
In a way, that is new and refreshing, and in another way, I think as what you were hinting at, it takes away from the character and mm-hmm. our understanding of him. So we're kind of cheated in that way because we don't understand him as an individual.
Yeah.
We kind of understand the culture more, which is cool, but. You're kind of cheated out of an origin story,
totally.
I think.
And I think they did, like, I think they did the sidestep of the origin story extremely well with Spider-Man because
mm-hmm. Homecoming?
Yeah, Homecoming. Mm-hmm. Because obviously we don't need, we've gotten a trillion Spider-Man films this century. We do not, mm-hmm. we did not need a... to see Uncle Ben die. We did not need to see him get bit by the spider. Like, we didn't need that. So no. they didn't show it. And that was
right.
great. And right. I don't know if...
But we don't know Black Panther
don't know
on
Black
that
Panther.
Level.
Exactly. And I don't know if we've mm-hmm. been afforded that familiarity based on his appearance in Civil War, other than the fact that he has the coolest outfit in the entirety of the MCU.
Right.
So, like,
I know that we're given that little blurb in the beginning about the origins of the Black Panther power, but I still feel like I don't understand the extent
okay.
of it. And
so,
go ahead.
I watched. Yeah. There was a like 4 minute long video that Marvel kind of put out, but then did not tell anyone they put out about mm-hmm. the way that the family tree works. So obviously, all those other Panthers in the tree were like. Male
prior
relatives.
Prior kings, yeah.
right? They like just had not turned human because they were not direct lineage. They are direct lineage, but they weren't his dad, right? That's why they didn't. But then later on in the film, when he
right.
goes
they were,
back,
they were
after,
just ancestors.
Right,
that's what I assumed. Yeah.
Right, when he goes back, most of those Panthers have turned into humans. So
right.
the one guy found the vibranium stuff, right? And then he also found, like, around that vibranium was the plant, like the heart of the something, the plant that makes you strong. They found that also. He took it and then was like, I'm the king now. And then that's basically it. Then it's like went down. So it's like there was the one guy who like kind of started and developed the country. And then all of it spread from him. That's what I gathered from this family tree video.
So the power is sourced from the plant itself?
It's sourced from the plant and the power of...
of the panther itself. The spirit of the panther?
Unclear. Yeah.
And what are these powers exactly besides...
I think he's panther-like strong and agility. Jump high.
Yeah.
I legitimately, honestly think that's all it is. He's stronger and I think he has Captain America's skill set. Except he can jump higher.
I think he has... Captain America doesn't have the strongest skill set when it comes
to... That's what I'm saying. I only think the only thing that this is like makes Black Panther is the fact that he can't get shot because his suit is vibranium.
Okay, yeah. My dad was saying he's Batman. And I said, well, no. But like, Batman's just have a normal cool suit. Guy.
Think like Black Panther, like abilities-wise, is Captain America in Batman's suit.
Mm-hmm. But Batman does have... like super
he has like intelligence, right? Like he has no like
physical... but he is a really good fighter too. I mean, in the Nolan films at least, I guess it's less clear in the 90s Batmans. What else? And a huge strength of his is his technology, which
totally
would be... that's why I wanted more of the sister story, I suppose.
But also,
what else about that movie?
I don't know.
I mean, just from like a cultural standpoint, obviously huge. Changes the demographic of movies.
Totally. That's the other side of the audiences. Coin. I also think it's the best movie ever made. Like part of me is like, it's okay. But also it's the best movie ever made, because at a certain point, I feel like you can discount, or maybe discount is the wrong turn of phrase, but I can forgive it not being the thing expected it to be. Like, I can forgive the narrative because of the fact that the film exists and what the thing, what the film actually existing means to Black people broadly, I think gives you a lot of leeway for it maybe not being the most compelling.
Okay, I was talking about Marvel this with movie. Jeff, and not to out Jeff. This isn't an outing, Jeff, who we've mentioned
many times,
he's just like our go-to guy. He was talking about how we should kind of view this movie in a critical way, and with, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like
strong disagree, by the way, but yeah, I get what he's saying.
Well, that's just Jeff, I think, but also he's saying that if we don't have that critical analysis, then we just make way for more subpar films.
I guess so, but white people make a lot of bad movies that people think are good.
For sure, so, like, for sure.
I think that, like, yeah, but I totally get what he's saying. Like, if you lower the bar for the movie that has a lot of Black people in it and is supposed to be the tentpole, then, like, it takes longer to get to excellence.
Right. I understand that, and I also understand what you're saying about white people making a bunch of Cinderella movies.
Think are, like, great. And, like, some of them are. But, like, at a point, like, I don't know.
It's like, we already have five of these.
Yeah. And, like, there are no movies like Black Panther. Also, I am in San Francisco, obviously. I had never heard a theater get as fucking lit as when... generally. Like, fuck, like, it is such a fun movie.
Anytime Michael B. Jordan was in frame, I swear to God.
Oh, man. That dude is so hot. It's like...
I know, right?
It's unreal.
It's unfair.
When Oakland 1992 came on the screen, it was like a bomb went off. It was so fucking cool. Mm-hmm. Also, and this is my fucking dumb thing, the typeface in this movie was amazing. Like,
yeah, it was fun.
It was so, so cool. And I think the color palette was good. Like, I think, like, visually,
it
is the most compelling.
For sure. Costuming was there.
What did you think of the train fight?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh, same. Same, me too.
I feel like I just have superhero fatigue and nothing is going to change it. Nothing's going to change it.
I just thought,
even with Wonder Woman, which I liked, I still was like, this is just another superhero movie. And I don't know.
I just thought that the shots, I just thought that, like, I thought the device of the suit doesn't work when the train is coming was very good.
Mm-hmm.
I just did not like the way it was shot or the way it looked or anything about the fight.
Train was cool.
Train was very cool.
Not in that scene particularly, but as a device. A train.
Did you remember that Martin Freeman was in these movies? Because I didn't.
I did. I also, which is funny because they called him an American like 5 times.
Yeah. When they called him colonizer, like, well, I lost my fucking shit.
Which like gets you on a harder level because he's English.
Uh-huh.
Like,
it's so good.
He is English, right?
Yeah, he is.
He's not Scottish.
Mm-hmm. It's very good. Okay. And then they recreated the scene with him and Andy Serkis, basically from The Hobbit.
Yeah.
It's also good.
Who we talked about last week. Yeah. Who was like in the movie for 15 minutes, maybe.
I just thought that was good. I thought it was a legitimate opportunity because there are too many people now, right? Because Marvel does not, no one told Marvel to stop. So there are 150,000 characters. And I thought that that was a very good opportunity to kill Martin Freeman.
Right.
And, like, start to get those numbers down. But then they didn't kill him.
Nope. They did kill Andy, though.
Yeah, sorry, Andy.
Spoiler.
Sorry, whoops.
But we already gave you the blur.
Yeah. Also, Killmonger was right, IMO. But that's a different story for a different day.
How did you feel about the killing of Michael B. Jordan's character?
That sucked. I didn't feel it was
upset about it, too.
There was no reason for it. Part of me legitimately, I knew that it wasn't in the second post credit. I knew that it wasn't going to be him. But part of me was like, hey, but what if it's Killmonger?
Mm-hmm.
And then it was fucking Bucky. I was like, ugh, gross. But like, part of me was like, what if they like actually like saved him? Because I think that would have been.
Oh, Bucky.
I think that would. I hope he dies. It would have been cool. I super hope he dies in Infinity War.
That would. I mean, what would that do, though?
Nothing.
Killing him. Nothing.
You know what I did think about? My first thought when I sat up in bed today after realizing how late I had slept in and how much I had delayed the recording of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
If they kill Tony Stark.
Yeah.
And if they kill Tony Stark in Infinity War, which I would like them to do. But they don't kill Rhodey. And Rhodey takes over Iron Man for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And
he has a suit.
Yeah, but like I think someone has to be Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
You put Shuri in as Iron Man.
She would want to make her own suit.
Yeah. But like,
isn't she a character on her own? Doesn't she develop her own powers? She must.
Does Shuri have powers, Black Panther?
She's like one of those characters that's bound to be bitten or, you know?
Some sort of bug is going to get her.
Yeah. Or is she just a character that was made for the movie? She can't be.
No,
right?
She's not.
Yeah.
Okay, so I looked up. I'm on cinemablend.com, your hotspot for articles titled Where the Black Panther Shuri Goes From Here in the MCU. And they also say that Shuri could be Iron Man or Black Panther.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, she's going to be in Infinity War.
Yeah, in the comics.
And Ready Player One.
Oh, poor baby. In the comics, Shuri becomes Black Panther after her brother falls into a coma.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought was going to happen in this movie. Yeah. I was like, all right, I'm pumped. Let's go.
She holds the title for a short time by herself before T'Challa regains consciousness. And then they both kind of share the title until Shuri is killed later on. No.
Dumb.
They fucking can't.
Dumb.
I am a fan of my... Where are they going to get more of those plants?
Hey, did you know that Sterling K. Brown was going to be in it?
No, I didn't. And then I was like,
I was like, what is happening?
It's like, Sterling, you're here.
Yeah. I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it.
I enjoyed my time. I had a good time.
Yeah.
I just people were like, it's my third favorite Marvel movie. And I'm like, I guess actually maybe like it probably is top five for me. But I guess that is actually just to show like how kind of watered down all 20 of these films have been. that this one is top five for me.
We in particular have like very high hopes for these kinds of films, and we kind of paint out in our minds what we'd like them to be when it comes to anything in the realms of superheroes or any kind of franchise, because we're so attached to them. But lots of people just went to go see it because it was a movie they wanted to see.
And that's fine, because that's actually how it should be. Like,
right, for sure.
That's like how it should go.
I feel like every movie should be like this. Audiences engaged and wanting to care about everything surrounding the film as well. And just like the pure excitement of going to a movie. I don't think that exists anymore. For me, it does, because I love movies. Yeah. But for a lot of people, it doesn't exist because there aren't a lot of movies to begin with that are distributed in theaters.
Yes, I think that like that there are, I know for a fact, there are a subset of human beings who had not been to the movies in like 2 years probably, because they had not felt that there was any point for them to go to the movies. Saw that Black Panther was coming out, and was like, oh, fuck yeah, I'm gonna go to the movies. And then, like, went to the movies. And, like, that is, like, in the shittiness of what this week was and what this year has been, I think it is extremely good that there was, for 2.5 hours, people were hype as fuck. Like, I think that's very good. Also, I didn't realize that this movie was 2.5 hours. Like, at no point was I like, oh, it's kind of getting slow. But I think that,
really?
Yeah.
I feel like it got slow for me towards the middle. Yeah. And I fell asleep, which is... I'm going to go see it again today.
I'll also get back to you. See it again today.
Yeah.
All right. Are you ready to do the show? For real?
Yeah, how long was that?
That was 22 minutes.
25 minutes.
Oops. If you're just joining us because you haven't seen Black Panther, hello. We had a rousing conversation about the film. And you should go see the movie and then come and listen to the episode again. Whose turn is it?
The arts.
Support the arts, even when those arts are created by multi-trillion-dollar companies.
I think it's my turn.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Following in the realm of movies, and because I'm Jules and I talk about movies all the time.
You like movies?
What? You like movies?
No.
Have you heard anything about...
What? We're okay.
What?
Everything is okay. I thought the GarageBand crashed.
Oh, my Lord.
We're fine.
If you guys don't know, last week, Nikki and I were halfway through the show, and then GarageBand crashed, and we had to redo the show.
Yeah, it was terrible.
So if you hear a small hint of agitation in either of our voices from last week, that will explain
That's why.
But we're good. GarageBand
did not crash. We're okay.
Sweet. Okay. Continuing in the realm of movies, have you heard anything about Annihilation?
I saw a poster for it yesterday.
So, Annihilation. You haven't seen any trailers or anything?
Absolutely not. I missed all of the trailers because I was waiting for my chicken tenders yesterday.
Oh, Lord.
But there were a lot of people. Who gets
chicken tenders at the movie theater,
though, AMC
Nikki?
Chicken tenders are amazing. I literally said when I got out of the lift that all I wanted to see, because I saw it in IMAX, the 2D experience, all I wanted to see was the Solo trailer. That was the only trailer out of the 95 million trailers that they showed at the beginning of that goddamn film.
And did you?
I stepped in as whoever the fuck is Han Solo, said, it's fine, it's fine, and then flipped the switch. I was livid. Anyway, sorry. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to see the trailer in IMAX.
The Solo trailer in my theater went very well. According to audiences, they enjoyed it. But they mainly enjoyed Donald Glover. The 2 seconds of screen time that he gets in that trailer. Anyway, back to Annihilation. So, actually, I think you should watch the trailer, and I'll give you a link to put in the link down. But it's directed by Alex Garland, the guy who did Ex Machina. Did you see that movie?
Oh, I did see Ex Machina.
Did you like it?
I liked it a lot.
I loved Ex Machina, and he also did Sunshine and a bunch of other movies in that science fiction realm, but I think he's probably most well-known for Ex Machina these days. Annihilation is this book, Well, is this movie that's based off of the book Annihilation by Jeff Vandermeer, who I know particularly because he edited this edition of Songs of a Dead Dreamer, which is this Thomas Ligotti book. He's an author who did a lot of horror, and I'm actually studying him for my speculative philosophy class. So I kind of segued into Vandermeer and started reading a little bit of Annihilation, but I don't think I'll finish it in time for the movie. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's this new movie with Gina Rodriguez, Natalie Portman, Jennifer Jason Leigh, and a bunch of other people.
Tessa Thompson.
And it's kind of this movie about these four women who go into... In the movie, it looks... In the trailers, it looks like a soap bubble, honestly. But it's basically this... I believe it's like this area that... Honestly, I should have probably just looked up the frickin' synopsis, mm-hmm. but that's not what I looked up anyway. I was excited about the film because it was made by Alex Garland and because of Gina Rodriguez. So I was doing a little bit of research on the film itself, and apparently audiences believe that it may have been whitewashed, which made me immediately sad because I was like, aw,
oh, man,
it was going to be a great movie. And I was excited for Gina Rodriguez to be in a feature film because she hasn't done too many. But Alex Garland kind of says that it hasn't been, because when he started working on the project, Annihilation was the first book of the series and it was the only book that was out. Mm-hmm. It was made into a trilogy. And in the first book of the series, Vandermeer only refers to the four women as the biologist, the anthropologist, the psychologist, and the surveyor. He doesn't say their names. He doesn't say their names and doesn't refer to their traits, their physical traits or identity in any way. And it wasn't until later, until in the second novel, I believe, that I don't know. I think Natalie Portman is playing the biologist. The biologist is described as of Asian descent. And then Jennifer Jason Leigh's character is supposed to be half Native American. But that was only made apparent in the second book.
After that, I assume they started casting.
Right.
Yeah.
It was already in production, and I think they probably already had attachments.
Yeah, totally.
At that point.
That's rough.
Kind of sucks, because it would have been a perfect opportunity to
to get some brown people in there.
Right. And that just, like, didn't happen. Yeah. But Alex Garland said he has no intention of making this into a trilogy and just wanted it to stand on its own. Also, Oscar Isaac is in this movie, and probably that's why I was...
Hell yeah.
...ridiculously excited for it. But, yeah. So I still think I'm going to watch it. I heard it's gotten mixed reviews, but I'm always down for a science fiction thriller.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ex Machina scared the shit out of me.
Did it?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like, I wasn't like... I'm like freaked out in my seat kind of way, just like in a brain but, like, thinking way.
Everyone's an AI. Yeah.
Like in an existential horror kind of way.
Right, which I think that is exactly. And that's what Ligotti does, and that's what Vandermeer does as well.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, also in the movie realm, have you heard anything about Isle of Dogs?
Yeah,
I think we watched a trailer for
it. We
did.
When we watched The Greatest Showman. Which, by the way, did you know that movie is still in theaters?
Yeah, I did.
when we went to go... There's a movie pass hack that I will have to tell you about off camera or off mic.
No, I don't want to get my account frozen.
It's not... Listen, it's a very good strat. But they still are still showing it. And people, I assume, are still going to go see it, which is why they're still showing it.
Mm.
But it's wild. That's wild to me.
I know a lot of people who really enjoyed that movie.
Good for
the
them.
Music.
That's
and,
fine.
Like,
good
yeah.
for them.
Yeah. So.
Chase their bliss. Anyway, The Isle of Dogs. Dog Island,
right.
Stop motion animation. It's got Everyone's in it. You're in it, actually. Did you get your check yet?
Did I know that? I haven't gotten my check yet.
Because you're in the movie. That's how many people are in it.
Well, it just premiered in Berlin, and it's gotten really, really good reviews. Yeah. And I think one critic said, what's great about Wes Anderson is that as the world gets worse, his movies get even more fantastical and brighter, which I think is super cool. And I don't know. I'm pretty excited for this movie. I think I was kind of concerned about the portrayal of Japanese people in it.
Yeah, same.
And I think I still need to do some research on that. But yeah.
Yeah, part of me was like, there seem to be a lot of white people in this movie about Japan.
Well, to be fair, the dogs are the white people.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, I guess that kind of tracks. So like,
right.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I remember I didn't used to understand Wes Anderson because I was a dumb idiot.
Well, I don't think you have to be a dumb idiot not to not understand Wes Anderson movies.
I also didn't realize
some of his movies aren't good, and we just we can't put them on a pedestal like that.
But they do get wrapped up into the canon of Wes Anderson, who is good broadly.
He is really good. He's an auteur. He knows his aesthetic, and if you're just in love with that aesthetic, you'll love every single one of his movies because he's really good at crafting that and making it his own. I really loved Fantastic Mr. Fox. I know a lot of people
who
didn't.
I really liked Fantastic Mr. Fox.
I thought it was really fun.
The first Wes Anderson film that I saw was Moonrise Kingdom, and no one told me that it was supposed to be weird.
I remember you told me, after you had gone and seen it with Carolina and Noah, you were like, we just saw this weird movie with child porn in it. And I was like, what are you talking about?
No one told me it was supposed to be weird. So I thought it was like, I didn't really know anything about, because I don't like movies. I didn't know anything about the way that movies were supposed to be structured and, how big, the size of movies. I just assumed that all movies were kind of equal size, depending of, scope and production and all of it. So I didn't really understand that some movies are just smaller on purpose. And I was like, this movie was weird. It didn't.
Or independent film is a thing.
Yeah, I just didn't really get those things. So yeah, I just thought.
I mean,
it was
we were in high
weird.
School. None of us knew anything.
It's true.
What else do I have? Oh, I've been talking about this in the group chat all week, but I really like the new Queer Eye on Netflix.
I think it's really good.
Well, it's no longer called Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Is it just called Queer Eye? Do they talk to non-straight guys now?
Yeah, they do. In this season, the Fab Five make over, so to speak, a gay man.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, I think it's really cool because they kind of preface the show by saying the original series. Well, first they have an interview with the new Fab Five and they ask them, what are their thoughts on kind of taking on this role? And all of them were really humbled and kind of nervous that people wouldn't like the show. And
it's on Netflix.
Right. It got picked up. They're fine. the main kind of theme of this season, I think, they say that the original series was all about introducing a variety of audiences to the concept of tolerance and tolerating the gay community. But this season or this series, this rebooted series, was all about acceptance. Mm-hmm. And I think they do a really, really good job of that. And they don't glaze past the issues, any issues. I think that they move, there's an episode where race relations are brought in, race relations in a kind of when talking about sexual identity as well and how that comes into play, which I think is important and really interesting. And I mean, you can watch it as just a makeover show where a man gets a completely new style and a new house and learns how to cook, but I don't think that's what it is, and I think that it's a very heartwarming and well-produced season. I really enjoyed it, and I like the new Fab Five.
Does Ted Allen show up at all?
Ted does not show up. I hope he... I didn't see if he had any producing credit, but I should probably look that up.
I love Ted.
Ted's too busy running the Food Network with Bobby.
Did you see that Google bought Chelsea Market? So now Food Network, yeah, Google bought the Chelsea Market for like $2 billion like 3 weeks ago. So now I guess Food Network pays rent to Google. And I assume eventually Google is going to start pushing those tenants out of the building because they have their like New York City office. Their main New York City office is across the street from Chelsea Market. But they are quickly running out of space. So like,
that's interesting.
Yeah. But most of the live production stuff anyway is moving to LA though. So
that makes sense. Everything is
like Kitchen Stadium is not in New York anymore.
It's we have space here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we don't have space. You're definitely gentrifying communities when you bring in these huge studios and campuses, but I guess, yeah.
They also did, bought a hangar, Google bought a hangar in Playa Vista, though. I mean, they're doing it everywhere. They bought, like, the hangar where they built the Spruce Goose, Google bought, like, 4 weeks ago. But they finished the sale on that. Exciting stuff.
Just keep getting better. The new Ted, his name's Anthony, and he's just like
the sequel to Ted.
He's like one of those people who I read this article about Anthony specifically, and they were just like, if Rob Gronkowski came across him on Tinder, he'd swipe right. He's just like that universally attractive in a non-threatening way that everyone is attracted to him.
That's very good. That's like the best way you could describe a human being.
Right? What else did I look? Oh, I'm going to a concert at the Moroccan Lounge later this month, and I'm really excited. The Minor Birds and Clara Nova. I have never been to the Moroccan Lounge before, and I'm really excited because it's been renovated a bunch of times, but I guess the most recent renovation was this fall, and Borns was there, I think, to open up the venue.
Man, Borns
but
is so
it's,
good.
Yeah, it's interesting that they picked Borns because it's a smaller venue that's supposed to facilitate indie bands before they go into larger venues. There's still, it's like 275 people.
Is it seats or
can
standing?
Fit into that venue? It's standing. Okay. And what's cool about it though is that there's a restaurant attached to it with like a bunch of really good food, like poutine lamb burgers, and apparently the drinks are really well priced. And there's like booths everywhere, so it's more of a club kind of setting. But there's a huge. I don't know if they close that portion when there's concerts. I hope not, because I'd really enjoy some poutine.
That's wonderful.
But yeah, I'm really excited. Minor Birds are really, really good. Yeah. If you want to get a feel of their vibe, I have two recommendations of their songs.
We'll just play them.
Sure. Shouting at the Dark and Body of Work.
Right.
Two kind of different songs. Shouting at the Dark is more 80s synth pop, but also stays tuned to like the edgy kind of like fuck everyone vibe that the Minor Birds have. And then Clara Nova, I would suggest the song Badlands. And I'll give you a link that kind of shows the entire band and how they work together. I think you'd really like them, actually, Nikki. Two really cool, I guess, alternative rock bands.
Sweet. Well,
it's kind of interesting that they've been grouped together because they kind of have similar sounds. But I'll tell you how it goes.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going, but I'm excited to listen.
Right.
So here's a Shouting at the Dark.
And here's Badlands. Till it felt like Icarus. Never knew heartbreak. Cause I stayed tongue-tied. Never really known myself. Now there's no going back. No, there's no going back.
Nailed it. God, we're the best. This is production value.
The greatest content, yes.
That's music.
Mm-hmm.
What a big week.
I also looked up best Mexican food in Sherman Oaks, also known as Shokes.
Shokes, yeah, in the Shokes.
I don't think I did, because the Mexican food I had last night was subpar.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Still on the hunt. If anyone has any suggestions, email us. Of good Mexican food in the valley.
Tangentialpod@gmail.com.
All right, Nikki, what was your week like?
I had an eye infection this week. My eyelid was just super infected.
Why are you constantly injured?
I don't know. It's hard. It's hard out here. I had something called blepharitis, which is the most hilarious infection
fake.
Name.
That's fake. You just made that up.
Blepharitis is an infection and inflammation of the upper eyelid. So it looked like I had been punched in the eye. And it was just swelling. You know how, you know, in Rocky or any instance of boxing, when they get punched in the face and then their eye gets all swelly and kind of, and by
fake
kind
looking.
Of, yeah, and by kind of, I mean extremely disgusting. That was my eye for like 2 days.
I'm looking at pictures now and it looks like jaundice of the eye.
Oh, yeah. So there's also some really cool scaling and flaking that kind of gives you dandruff.
Grayscale.
Except it's just like grayscale.
It's what you get for being rude to
honestly,
Shane.
Like, yeah. But the cool part of this story is that they had to give me antibiotics.
Right.
And as part of those antibiotics, the doctor was like, so the doctor walked into the room and I was like, my eyelid is inflamed. And he was like, oh. And then I took off my glasses. And before I even got my glasses all the way off, he was like, oh, you have blepharitis. And I was like, oh, that was fast. And then he was like, all right, I'm going to take a picture of it. And he like took out his phone. And I assume,
doctors do that now. They just pull out their phones whenever they want. Like, but my dermatologist literally does
that. Yeah, just like takes pictures
every time
of your
I
face,
come in.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I assume it's going into like the Kaiser app, but like part of me was like, is that also your regular ass phone?
Right?
Like, because like that kind of makes me uncomfortable. What? But whatever.
Right. So it's not like they scroll through photos of gross eyes before they go to bed.
I mean, I don't know what they're doing in there. So they take a picture of my eye, and then he gives me a prescription. And then he's like, so yeah, just take the antibiotic. It's like an ointment, and then just put it on a Q-tip, and then just roll it on the outside, then flip the Q-tip over, and then put the ointment back on, and then put it under your eyelid. And I was like, wait, what?
Ooh,
and he was like, yeah, just over your eyelid and then underneath. And I was like, I'm sorry, you want me to, like, put the Q-tip? You want me to pull my eyelid out? And then shove the Q-tip in the space in between my eyelid. And he was like, yeah. It's, like, not going to hurt. Like, it's fine. And I was like, all right. It is such an unpleasant experience to approach your own eyeball with a relatively – I mean, it's like Q-tips aren't sharp. But they are sharp. They are sharp objects that you're bringing towards your eyeball and then trying to, like, roll it underneath your eyelid. It's disgusting.
Nikki, have you also seen the mite – or like the actual the infection
is it
or
cool?
What it looks like. It's so gross looking. Oh my god.
I asked him how I like could have gotten it and he was like,
it has like these puckering lips and images. Like these eyes with really, really long eyelashes.
What did you look up?
I'll just send you the picture.
I don't know if I want this. Oh, I found it. It looks like gross.
Yeah.
It looks like a snake.
Wait, what are you looking at? Mine doesn't look like... I'm just going to send it
to you. The back end looks like a snake, and then it has 8 legs.
Ooh.
Man, this sucks. Anyway.
That's what's in your eye.
My doctor was like, it's God now, basically. I still have to like finish out the
interview. Send it to Rachel again.
She's going to be very confused. I have to like finish out the treatment, but like my eye is cool now. But yeah. But I asked my doctor, I was like, how did I get it? And he was like, I don't know. Like, you were walking outside probably, and, like, it just got in your eye. And I was like, okay, cool. Awesome. Wonderful.
Did you get it?
Yeah. Oh, that sucks to look at.
Why in this picture is it also on the cheek?
On the cheek. That's weird.
Maybe it's comparing.
Yeah, what it looks like.
The color to rosacea. Yeah.
Yeah. I love Dr. Axe, food is medicine.
It is. Food is medicine.
Did you watch any of the Olympos? The 2016
No, I've just heard about figure
Winter
skating
Olympic
a
Games.
Lot.
Yeah, Adam Rippon is crushed it and also was just being a good human. At one point, one of the interviewers was like, how can you, what do you have to say? You crushed it out there. And he was like, I can't explain witchcraft. And I was like, dude, you're the best.
That's hilarious.
I love you. Like, you're wonderful. But snowboarding is your boy's winter sport of choice.
Is it?
It is. I've always been a fan of snowboarding. Look, ask anyone who knows me.
Have you ever
me.
Tried it?
Nope. Ask anyone who knows me.
Will you ever try
yeah,
it?
Yeah, like part of me, the school is like doing the gym, like through the gym, we have these things called outdoor adventures where they like subsidize the cost of a thing and then they split out the cost of the trip. So like you pay like $50 to get on a bus and the bus takes us out to Tahoe. And then, like, they give you food, and then you get back on the bus and come back.
Hmm.
But I have not decided whether or not I want to do it. Anyway, snowboarding is a fun thing. And America's very good at snowboarding on account of the fact that we bullied the IOC into including it in the Olympics. Because we had a bunch of very good athletes at it. And then we've proceeded to get stomped by Japan, which is my other favorite thing about this sport. Is that, like, we...
The Japanese can always do it
better. Yeah, they, like, we bullied our way into getting snowboarding into the Olympics. And then other countries were like, oh, hell yeah. And then they got into it. So, like, the men's half pipe, that Shaun White one. Did not realize, first of all, that Shaun White is a shitty human being. Did you know that?
You didn't?
I did not know that Shaun White was like a shitty human. Did not know this. I learned it though, so fuck Shaun White, I guess. But the last runs he was going up against this like 5'2" Japanese kid who was just like putting down some crazy stuff. Towards the end of his runs. And then Shaun White did Shaun White stuff. He spun a lot of times, did a lot of cool flips. but the nation was graced with the presence of Chloe Kim, who is my athlete. Everyone has an athlete that they bring out of the Olympics, and they're like, man, this person brought me a lot of joy for 2 weeks about sports I didn't really care about. And then you forget them until the next Olympics. And my athlete right. this cycle is Chloe Kim, who is a 17-year-old snowboarder, and she specializes in half pipe. She's from like Long Beach, California, and
cool.
just a chill, cool teen. Just like as a cool teen in
yeah,
between,
she's from Long
yeah,
Beach.
in between runs, she was just on Twitter. She was like, "I'm hungry," and then proceeded to like lay down like a 98 out of 100. Like, she was just like, I'm hungry, and then I want a sandwich, and then was like, oh, I have to snowboard now, bet. And then she like went down the half pipe and got a 98. It was like, all right, I got a gold medal, and now I'm bored. Like, like, I want that. That's what I want to be. Chloe Kim is everything I ever wanted to be. And you know, if you have Twitter and are a fan of comedy generally, then you follow Leslie Jones, who is on Saturday Night Live, who follows me on Twitter. I forgot this. Leslie Jones follows me on Twitter. No, I legitimately did forget until I like clicked on her profile yesterday, and I was like, oh, yeah, she follows me. Because I got Leslie Jones into soccer, which is a different story entirely. I was like partially responsible for this. But she is always a fan of the Olympics, where she records very bad video of her television screen as she watches right. Olympic sports and just yells at them, and it's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Like her whole thing on what's the one with the like sled?
yeah, that's what it's called, mansledding. there's skeleton, which is the dumbest
what?
One. Oh my god, you don't know about skeleton? Okay.
Is that the one when you're on a sled and you're just head first?
Yes,
that's skeleton.
That's skeleton.
Yeah.
Skeleton is the one where it's like,
yeah, she was like, you know, white people made this sport. Yeah.
So there's skeleton, there's luge, which is the one where it's one person and you're on your back, and there's bobsled, which
right.
is multiple people.
That looks like fun.
Inside of a thing. Yeah. All of them seem very fun. It's just that, like, skeleton, you could die very easily.
The thing is, there is no skeleton except your own.
Yeah, it's just called skeleton because it is the one thing that you're relying on to keep you alive. I just don't understand. You can die doing most of the Winter Olympic sports.
All of them.
But, like, the Summer Olympic sports, I mean, it's very hard to die doing them. Almost
really?
Every single Winter Olympic
sport, you can die. You can... Okay, let's talk about the Summer Olympic sports then. What have we got? We got diving. You could definitely die from that.
That's the one. The, like, the one that
you could drown in a pool.
But you can't drown in a pool, though, because you're A, a professional swimmer, and B, there are lifeguards. They
yeah,
can just get
you. Yeah, but what if your body just, like, goes limp and then bye?
Summer Olympic sports. Hold on. Okay. List of Olympic sports. Summer Olympic Games. Okay. You've got... Nope. This is a long-ass Wikipedia page that I did not need. I got it. Okay, summer sports. Archery, impossible to die because you're shooting down a range so that, and there aren't people on the other end. Athletics, so that's running. I guess you could die up doing the marathon, but someone would get you.
I think that you could die from archery, maybe.
I mean, yeah, if the, like, the archer turned around and shot the people behind them, sure.
There's also, isn't there also shooting, like, with guns
yeah, yeah.
as well?
So,
what's
like,
that called?
The, like, the skeet shooting.
Skeet shooter.
That one.
Not with bullets?
So I think the one where you shoot clay pigeons is bullets, but the one mm-hmm. where you, the there is an event called shooting where you literally just try to shoot good. I don't think those mm-hmm. are bullets. You can't die playing badminton. You can't die playing basketball. You can't die playing beach volleyball. You can you can't even die doing Olympic boxing because you have the helmet thing.
You can totally die, Nikki.
Okay, fine. Boxing. So we're now at two sports where you can die. Canoe slalom, no. Canoe sprint, no. Cycling, BMX.
Baseball and softball. You can,
there's,
you
those,
can probably
well, those
die.
Aren't Olympic sports.
They were. Softball was an
not
Olympic
anymore,
sport.
Not anymore. Not after the accident.
No, aren't they bringing it back in 2020?
Oh, are they? 2020.
I thought they were.
Baseball, Olympics.
Not baseball, softball, though.
Baseball is coming back, though.
Oh, so softball must be
so
coming back.
So softball also
then.
Is probably coming back. Well, you can die doing baseball, I guess.
Bam! Two more.
You can't die...
Handball for sure. You're totally diving. Weightlifting.
Weightlifting, yeah, you could die. You could drop the weights on your head.
Mm-hmm.
Gymnastics, mm-hmm. you could die. I guess you could break your neck.
Yeah, I think out of all of them, that's probably... Oh, equestrian.
Yeah, the horse could step on you.
Really hard.
Like in the head. Alpine yeah. skiing, you could just die. Like you'd fall off the mountain and die. Biathlon.
Yeah, baseball and softball are
biathlon, those are I think real bullets and not like real bullets. Those are bullets in those guns. Those could kill you. Bobsled.
Fencing.
That could kill you. Fencing can't kill you because there's tips on the sabers.
It's the side.
It's not sharp. cross-country skiing, you could get tired and die. Curling, I mean, I guess you could die if you like drop the stone on your head, but they're very heavy. Figure skating, you could cut off your own head. Freestyle skiing, you could break your neck and die. Ice hockey, you could cut off your own head.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
Luge, you could break your neck and die on the thing. Nordic combined, you could do the ski jump part and fucking die. Short track speed skating, you could cut off your own head. Skeleton,
so
you could
die. So you prefer the Winter Olympics to the
ski
summer
jumping,
Olympics.
You could fall to your death. Snowboard, you could hit your head on the half pipe and die because it's cement. And speed skating, you could cut off your own head. I think that the Winter Olympic Games have more cool things in them, but I think I
like which one is more
entertaining? The Summer Olympics.
Yes.
But I think that the Winter Games just has more cool shit.
Mm-hmm.
Because snowboarding is in it.
I would love to go to Tokyo for 2020.
If you work for NBC or anyone who is a sponsor of the Olympics on the American end, please email us at tangentialpod. We'll make a lot of shows from Tokyo, wherever you want us to make them from. We'll have on Olympians, and it'll be great. Just
we'll get all the
Olympians. Just hit us up. We'll find Michael Phelps too. We'll get him before NBC does, before Mike Tirico does. That was it, honestly. It was pretty, like, not exciting week for me on the internet, on the online. But yeah, my eyes was infected, and I watched a lot of Olympics. Curling is good. People need to stop shit-talking curling, because curling is really cool.
What?
Curling?
What is curling?
Curling is the one where you slide the ice, the rock on the ice a long way.
What curls?
Nothing. It doesn't really make any sense why it's called curling, but it's cool. Also, what? So did you know that? So like, Russia was not allowed to be at this Olympics because they all did drugs.
Right. Yeah.
But then they allowed a chunk of those athletes to still compete in the Olympics under the banner of Olympic athletes from Russia, but they did not win the medals for Russia. They're Russian, but like the Russian contingency is not there. So like their uniforms, I actually think are awesome looking. Like they're super minimalistic. It just says like Olympic athletes from Russia on them. They're all black and white. Like they're actually really cool. And that's fine and dandy. But one of the curling boys from Russia got like tagged for doping. Like, why are you doing steroids if you're playing curling? Like, I don't understand. Like, it's so bizarre. Also, they added mixed curling in to the Olympics. So, like, there are a bunch of husband and wife teams, and it's pretty great.
The first headline that I saw about curling was, "World scoffs at Russian doping."
Yeah, like, curling.
We scoff at him.
Like, I just don't understand. Like, what kind of steroids could you be doing that make you better at curling?
Doping and curling. What a time to be alive.
That's just like, I'm going to take steroids just because I can. Like, there are some steroids nearby. Hell yeah, give them to me. Put them in my leg.
This looks like fun. I didn't know it existed.
Curling is so cool. You slide a rock down a.
How do they make those? Or like, who
makes
who
curling
does the
stones?
Rocks? Yeah.
I don't know. I would love to watch a how it's made on curling stones.
Also, what connects that handle
glue
thing to the stone? Oh,
I don't know.
That's
how
less
are
fun.
Curling?
Oh, here they look more like pucks than stones.
Yeah, they're like they're big hockey pucks.
Yeah, more like obvious.
There is an episode of How It's Made on curling stones. It's 5 minutes and a half.
Oh my gosh.
So I know what I'm watching after this. I think that's it.
Yeah.
Huh? We did it. We did the thing. Apologies for the many sniffles that I know Jules and I were producing with our faces this
and
week.
And coughs.
Yeah, just it was a lot. Go get your flu shot, please.
I already had mine.
No, just generally to the audience.
I need a second
I need another
one.
Flu shot. Thanks so much for listening to Tangential this week. You can find this show and many other episodes of this show on tangential.xyz. That's tangential.xyz. It doesn't sound like a URL, but it is. Just type it in. You can find this episode, the show notes, the link dump that we're talking about, and every other episode we've done. And you can also, at the bottom of the page, find the links to our Twitter accounts, where I am at Godsua and Jules is at JS Klemek. You can also find us on Instagram at Chasing Grayson and JS Klemek. And you can find the show on Apple Podcasts. Just type in Tangential or go to bit.ly/tangentialpod. And we're on Pocket Casts, Google Play, not Spotify yet because our podcast
they hate
yeah,
us.
Our podcast provider just hasn't gotten back to us. So if you know how we can get the show on Spotify, please let us know. I think that's it. Oh, you can email us at tangentialpod @gmail.com. And big thanks to Louis Zong for letting us use the song Blueberry Jam off of his album Jam 2. You can find the link to that song and all of Louis's other songs and his Bandcamp in the description for this episode. I think that's it. Did we do it? Is there anything else? I can't believe we did it. What are you going to do now that we've finished recording this episode?
Get food.
Delicious. I hope it's not
see
as
Black Panther
I hope
again.
It's not as mediocre as the Mexican food you had yesterday.
Me too. I love Mexican food. I'm so sad.
Fingers crossed. All right. Adios, amigos. Bye.
Bye.